बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरवर धारी यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Jai Prabhupada.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Stotara Satasya Srimad His Divine Grace I say Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki Shri Shri Gaura Nittaya ki Shri Shri Radha Vallabha ki Shri Shri Jagannath Balajasurumai ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Rinde ki Nittaya Gaur Premanande
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Hare Krishna. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, chapter number 8, text number 30. Okay, so 7.8.30.
Samrambha Dusprekshaya Karala Lochano. Samrambha Dusprekshaya Karala Lochano. Vyatat Nanantam Vilihan Swajivaya. Vyatat Nanantam Vilihan Swajivaya. Asriglavakta Runakesharanano. Ashrikla Vakta Runakesharanano Yathantra Mali Dvipahat Yaya Hari Yathantra Mali Dvipahat Yaya Hari Samrambha Dusprekshaya Karala Lochano Vyatat Nanantam Vilihan Swajivaya Ashrikla Vakta Runakesharanano Yathantra Mali Dvipahat Yaya Hari Samrambha Dusprekshaya Karala Lochano Vyatat Nanantam Viliham Swajivaya Ashrikla Vakta Runakesharanano Yathantra Mali Dvipahat Yaya Hari Samrambha Dusprekshaya Karala Lochano Vyatat Nanantam Vilihan Swajivaya Ashrikla Vakta Runakesharanano Yatantra Mali Dvipahatnya Yahari
Matajis? Sorry, just running out of time today. Matajis?
Ah,
ఘమ్రంభ దుష్ప్రేక్షయ కరాల లోచనో వ్యాతాత్ ననాంతం విలిహన్స్వ జీవయా అశ్రీక్లవాక్తారుణకేశరాననో యథాంత్రమాలీ ద్విపహత్యయా హరి సంరంభ దుష్ప్రేక్షయ కరాల లోచనో వ్యాతాత్ ననంతం విలిహన్ స్వజీవయ శ్రక్ విలగ్వాక్తారుణకేశరాననో యథాంత్రమాలీ ద్విపహత్యయా హరి సంరంభ Because of great anger. Duspraksha, very difficult to look at. Karala, very fearful. Lochanaha, eyes. Vyatta, expanded. Annana antam, the edge of the mouth. Vilihan, licking. Swa jivaya, with his tongue. Drish lava with spots of blood. Akta smeared. Aruna reddish. Keshara mane. That's M-A-N-E, yeah? It's one word that I didn't know actually. Who knows what's mane? M-A-N-E? Hang on. How many of you need this word mane? What does it mean, Sivya? Yeah. So, mane, and Prabhupada uses it in translation as well, you know, the mane. So, mane is that hair on the neck of a horse, or a lion in this case, yeah, because Narasimha Deva appeared. So, I had to Google this word mane. And then I came back to the transliteration, and Prabhupada says, Keshara is mane. So, then you figured out, you know, that it's the hair actually. Sometimes I wonder how Prabhupada knew all these exact words, you know, the vocabulary. So, Keshara, mane, annana, and face. Yatha, justice. Antramali, decorated with a garland of intestines. Dvipa hatyaya, by killing of an elephant. Hari, the lion. Translation in Popat by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki? Translation. Lord Narasimha Dev's mouth and mane were sprinkled with drops of blood. And his fierce eyes, full of anger, were impossible to look at. Licking the edge of his mouth with his tongue, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narasimha Dev, decorated with a garland of intestines taken from Hiranyakashipu's abdomen, resembled a lion that had just killed an elephant, Popat. The hair on Lord Narasimha Dev's face, which is the mane. Being sprinkled with drops of blood was reddish and looked very beautiful. Lord Narasimha Dev pierced Hiranyakashipu's abdomen with his nails, pulled out the demon's intestines and wore them as a garland, which enhanced his beauty. Thus the Lord became very fearsome, like a lion engaged in fighting an elephant. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Presthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desa Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivashadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Okay, Hare Krishna. So, Kotapasta it already, yeah? got 45 minutes to squeeze in whatever I have to say. Today is Ekadashi, so most of you are fasting possibly. So no rush for prasadam. Just kidding. Okay. So let's just quickly bring us to know what is happening in Srimad Bhagavatam. We a couple of days ago on Thursday, I also happened to be here. And we were looking at that point in time, the fight had started between, not started actually, it was almost ending, between Hiranyakashipu and Narasimhadev. And today we see, and actually I think yesterday also we saw that Hiranyakashipu is dead. You know, he has been killed by the Lord. And today we see that the Lord is, you know, whatever he's doing with Hiranyakashipu. You know, he's got blood, you know, sprinkled on his hair. Then he is wearing the intestine of the Lord as a garland. Our Lord is quite strange, yeah. Sometimes we give him flower garlands. Sometimes he wears, you know, emerald garlands, golden garlands. Today there is garland, you know, that is full of blood and everything else, you know, that has come from the abdomen of Hiranyakashipu. So pretty strange, but beautiful God, yeah. Even when he wears, yesterday we saw, you know, Sukhdeva Goswami was saying that when the Lord wears that garland of intestines, it still looks very beautiful. None of you try to do that, yeah. Wear, you know, roam around, you know, with garlands like that. Maybe on Janmashtami Day, UK as part of cultural program, but not otherwise, yeah. So here, Narasimhadev has protected Prahlad Maharaj, you know, from so many of troubled times that he went through and killed. So Prahlad Maharaj, you know, is an extreme example in Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, when he has been protected at every step by the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj is also a unique example in Srimad Bhagavatam because, you know, all the atrocities that was, you know, inflicted on him also came from his own father. So extreme material turbulence in his life, extreme pain inflicted on him by his own family, instigated by his own father, and extreme material protection by the Lord. Of course, there is spiritual protection as well, which we will talk about in a minute. But let's just, even if we focus from the material protection, Prahlad Maharaj got all that. So this leads to a very usual common question, you know, that we ask, or at least I am asked, you know, is that the way Prahlad Maharaj was protected by the Lord, you know, in that extraordinary, extreme way, why doesn't the Lord protect the devotees today in such a way? A lot of times, you know, we go through troubles in our life. None of us need to be reminded of the problems we go in our life because there's just so many. So why doesn't the Lord come in our life and protect us, you know, in an extraordinary miracle way that he did it to Prahlad Maharaj? You know? So most of the 45 minutes, you know, I will be spending developing an answer to this question, and hopefully, you know, that helps us. So so rather than, you know, focusing on today, why doesn't the Lord act in such a way that we are protected, like, you know, in an extraordinary way? Let's go back to the past only and then, you know, develop the concepts from there. So if you go back to the past, we see from our scriptures, you know, our own Srimad Bhagavatam, it is not that the Lord always protects the devotee in a material way as Prahlad Maharaj was protected. There are ample examples there. Let's look at some contrast in Mahabharata. In Mahabharata, you know, at the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjun is protected by the Lord in so many ways. Especially at that time when Arjun had taken a vow that he will kill himself if he had not killed Jayadrath. Yeah? You know? If I don't kill Jayadrath by the sunset today, I will vanquish myself. And because he was not able to, you know, execute that, the Lord gave him a lot of protection to the point of even stopping time, you know, and bringing the darkness, illusory darkness, before the actual one. So much protection for Arjun. But in the same battlefield, Abhimanyu is very brutally killed. And he's also a pure devotee of the Lord. So, and Lord Krishna's physical presence is not too far distant from where Arjun was killed, Abhimanyu was killed brutally. So why didn't the Lord go into the Chakravyuh and told Abhimanyu that this is how you get out, mate? No, the Lord didn't do that. So that's already one example in the past only, when the Lord intervenes in different ways with different devotees. Yeah, let's go to Ramayana. In the Ramayana, Hanumanji also goes through, you know, lot of endeavor in the service of the Lord. And at all points of time, Hanumanji is protected and actually empowered by the Lord to do more and more and more and become super duper glorious and become a hero in the Ramayana. But in the same Ramayana, when Jatayu is trying to protect Mother Sita from being kidnapped by Ravana, Jatayu is brutally killed by Ravan. Well, why was the protection for Jatayu in the Ramayana? Why was Lord Ram giving all his care to Hanuman Ji? And no material protection for Jatayu, surely he could have been saved, no? So the point I'm making is, if you look at the past, there's already enough examples of different ways of the Lord, way the Lord intervenes with different devotees. So let's unpack what actually happened to them before we move on. Yeah, Abhimanyu. So when Abhimanyu was killed so brutally, Yudhishthira is lamenting and he is just fully laden with guilt. Why guilt? Because he thinks that Abhimanyu sacrificed his life for me. I am the one, Yudhishthira thinks, who sent Abhimanyu into the Chakravyuh. And knowing, you know, that he might not be able to come out of it. So he is just fully feeling guilty. So of course, when devotees are, you know, lamenting and need solace, then, you know, some other devotee appears in his life. So in Yudhishthira's case, Vyasadeva appears. And Vyasadeva consoles Yudhishthira in so many ways, and so many things he says. But two things that, you know, I want to bring out today is that one, he says that follow the will of the Lord. This is exactly the same thing that Bhishma Dev told the Pandavas, you know, follow the will of the Lord. You went through a lot of trials and tribulations, but follow the will of the Lord. The Lord has a higher plan. That's the first thing he says. He also explains to Yudhishthira Maharaj that the Lord protects us at three different levels. So try to remember this, yeah, because that's what we'll develop as we go on. The Lord can protect us at a physical level. The Lord can protect us at an emotional level. The Lord can protect us at any spiritual level. Of the three, the spiritual level is always protected by the Lord for all the devotees. Declare it boldly, O Arjuna, that my devotees never perish. So when you understand those, you know, that verse in Bhagavad Gita, you know, that Name Bhakti Pranashati, when we look at a couple of verses before and after that, you really understand mood of Krishna when he says this verse to Arjuna. What he means to say in essence, and a lot of times this verse can be loosely interpreted and applied in our life as well. Because devotees tend to quote this verse to say, Krishna says to Arjuna that my devotees will never perish. So why did the devotee perish? We have ample examples in our own congregation, especially during COVID days, you know, young children dying, parents dying, brothers, you know, leaving their body, you know, so many people, you know, there was death news coming pretty much every second day, you know, on the congregational email, and that was really hard for a lot of us to take, especially during COVID restrictions, yeah. Now it seems to have quietened down, you know. So why all those devotees were perishing, you know, why didn't Krishna save them? So what Vyasadeva says to Yudhishthira Maharaj, that follow the will of the Lord, that's one thing, follow his plan. And it also says that understand, O Yudhishthira, that Abhimanyu has gone to higher destinations. He has gone back to Krishna, he has gone back to Godhead. So, and he makes a very, you know, profound statement there to say that grieve not for those who are dead, grieve for those who are alive. Grieve not for those who are dead and got unentangled from this miserable conditional material situation, but grieve for those who are still alive today and still going through the suffering. So, you know, if you reflect back in our congregation of those who may have lost, a lot of times we still grieve for them. But if we understand Krishna's will behind it, that he had a plan for that particular devotee to be spiritually elevated to the highest platform, then actually we should be grieving that why we were not in that situation. Of course, it's very hard, yeah? It's very hard in practice, easy in philosophy. But that is the reality, no? So Abhimanyu went back to Krishna. That's the point. So his spiritual protection was there. Let's go back to Ramayana. Jatayu. Jatayu's material body was vanquished by Ravana. But the treatment that he received from Lord Ram is just very sweet. Lord Ram himself did the last rites for Jatayu. Now there will be ample examples in the future and have been in the past of many birds dying, especially in the forest. But not many of them will become glorious. Jatayu becomes glorious by actually dying in the service of the Lord. And in reciprocation to that, Lord Ram does his final rites. To the point that Lord Ram declares that Jatayu is my father figure. Imagine, you know, a bird being crowned as the father figure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Jatayu's destination is also back to Godhead. So let's bring it all together, that much together for now. Yeah, there is protection from the Lord to us, all devotees, sadhakas for now, at a physical level, at a emotional level, and at a spiritual level. Of the three, the spiritual level is always protected. That is granted by the Lord. It's a warranty that He has given us. Material and emotional just depends what the Lord wants to do with us. From our point of view, it may seem that He has not materially protected us, but the Lord has got a plan for even for our material protection. Just depends how what He thinks about us and what is our own disposition. Our difficulty in trying to reconcile this, you know, the apparent lack of material protection from the Lord for the devotee, we have got difficulty in reconciling it for the reason being that our vision is only limited to this life. We can only see from this life. When Her Grace Jagatarani Mataji was in Melbourne recently, you know, she gave this beautiful example, you know, which registered with me. She said, if you are sitting and you are looking out the window, and especially those of us who live near the temple, yeah, with the small houses, and there is only one window with which you can look outside. So if you are looking outside with just one window, you have no, what you are seeing is cars are going past, all colorful cars, you are seeing people walk past. But you have got no vision, where did they come from? And where they are heading to. We don't have that total picture. So we only have got that narrow vision of looking through the small window. So when we look at our life from a narrow window of this life only, it is completely different from how Krishna is looking at us from a much bigger lens. He is looking at trillions and unlimited lifetimes that we have come through and where we are heading to. So He's got another plan for us. So we just need to expand our vision to get a better understanding of what Krishna is doing with us. Such as was the case for Abhimanyu and Jatayu at least. Krishna had higher plans for them. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam, so coming back to the question, right? Why doesn't the Lord protect the devotees? And a lot of times, why doesn't the Lord protect the devotees, it seems? And also a lot of times, you know, when bad things happen to devotees, you know, in Srimad Bhagavatam or in our own cases, you know, a usual question is, why do bad things happen to good people? You know, we have heard this so many times, you know, in Bhakti Vrikshas, in our Science of Self-Realization, we've been through this answer many times. Why do bad things happen to good people? But interestingly, when we study Bhagavatam deeply, we understand, actually we observe maybe, that Bhagavatam twists this question around to ask not why bad things happen to good people, rather, what do good people do when bad things happen to them? What do good people do when bad things happen to them? Let's take some examples, yeah? Let's take example of Parikshit Maharaj and also, of course, Prahlad Maharaj, because you know he is the personality that is of focus today. When we look at Prahlad Maharaj, when bad things are happening to him, as we said, you know, by his own father and the demoniac family, his dependency on Krishna, his devotion to Krishna is never slackened. No, it's always exponentially growing. So how does Prahlad Maharaj react when there is calamities in his life is of complete absorption in Krishna and then leaves it to Krishna to decide how to handle him, how to protect him. You look at Parikshit Maharaj. When he has been cursed by the Brahmana boy, let's go back two more steps before we see how Parikshit Maharaj actually reacts. In our lives, we all make mistakes. Sometimes we make a minor mistake. Sometimes we can make a severe mistake. When we make a minor mistakes in our life, and the consequences, let's turn it around again. Maybe I'll turn it around. When we make a severe mistake in our life, and the consequences seem to be very minor, what is our reaction? How do we think? Surprised, yeah, that's one reaction. We are surprised. Such a big mistake I did, I got away with a minor reaction. Surprised, what else? It's like, phew, yeah? My goodness, I could have been much more danger, but somehow or the other I escaped. So more of a surprise, more of like, you know, we have escaped, yeah? Suspicious that something more is about to come, yeah? Maybe this is just the icing on the cake, yeah? Yeah, say it a little louder so others can hear.
Guilty because you did something wrong.
Guilty as well, yeah, that we know, you know, Lord, this is just a smack on the wrist, but something else is coming on our way, yeah. What happens when we do a minor mistake and the consequences are severe? The other way around now, yeah. Minor mistake, but the consequences seems very severe. Shocked, yeah. Shock? Who said shock? Yeah? Anusha, shock, shock. Unfair? You know? Life is so unfair. Shriya? Angry? Yeah, angry. Disappointed? No, shocked. Surprised in the first one, shocked in the other one. God doesn't exist. Because I did something so small, why did he punish me so much? No? I came to temple once or twice, and now somebody is not existent in our family. No? So people are shocked, and they become indignant to the Lord, like that. Well, now what happens when we make no mistakes and the consequences are severe? From severe mistake to minor mistake to no mistake, but still the consequences is so severe. Children go through this every time. That's how they think. I didn't do anything wrong. Mommy, why are you punishing me? It was my brother's problem, not my problem. Why are you pointing the finger at me? That's what they think, right? Sivir is nodding the head. Shreya is smiling. Anusha is smiling. Now, we think that we have done nothing wrong, but the punishment is very severe. Now, Prahlad Maharaj is in this situation. And if you want to go back, Parikshit Maharaj is in the other situation. Parikshit Maharaj's mistake is very minor. Now, he was a virtuous, pure devotee of the Lord. Now, once upon a time, again under the orchestration of the Lord, he has done some minor mistake of garlanding a Brahmana with dead snake. Very minor. Does he deserve punishment? Let's just say yes for now. But not in the proportion that he got. In the Vedic scriptures, and even for that matter, even nowadays, death penalty is the most severe punishment anybody can be given. Death punishment is actually almost like forbidden in current times, yeah? Capital punishment. But even that time, that punishment was only given if the punishment was extremely acutely severe. Garlanding a Brahmana with a snake does not deserve a death punishment for Parikshit Maharaj. Minor mistake, severe consequences. But what is his reciprocation? What is his reaction? I will spend the next 7 days in complete absorption of the Lord. That is a devotee's reaction. Parikshit Maharaj had all the capabilities to counter curse the Brahmana boy and counter the death that was coming to him. He had all that capability. But rather than doing that, he took the opportunity, knowing that in 7 days' time I'm going to leave my body, I will spend the 7 days in a complete absorption of the Lord. Lucky, thank God he did that. Otherwise, we won't have had Bhagavatam. Very sweet Bhagavatam won't have been spoken if Parikshit Maharaj didn't decide like that. Yeah. So, he didn't sit back and started analyzing to say, oh Krishna, you know, you are unfair, for this you are punishing me, or you know, or anything else. It's like, okay, no, I'll take this as the will of the Lord, and this helps me to intensify my bhakti, and I will do that. Yeah. So no wasting of time from Parikshit Maharaj. Interestingly also, if you read Bhagavatam, carefully, we know that Bhagavatam, not so many times, taking this as an example, focuses on why was Parikshit Maharaj wrong, and what was the consequences. You know, our acharyas move away from that and bring us to the point that no matter what in life, absorb yourself in Krishna. And the whole Parikshit episode in there is about Parikshit Maharaj's 7 days, not about the 7 seconds of what he did wrong and what happened in his 7 lives ago and why did he get that consequence. Yeah, that's not so important. Srila Prabhupada always told us, yeah, don't worry how we came here. Just worry how we're going to go back to Krishna. How we fell down is not so important. How we're going to go back to Krishna is more important. That is intelligence, yeah. So Parikshit Maharaj shows us that. Now Prahlad Maharaj, we said there are three types of mistakes we can do, right? Remember? The severe, the minor, and no mistakes. Now Prahlad Maharaj doesn't fit any of these three brackets. He didn't do any severe mistake, he didn't do any minor mistake, and he didn't do no mistakes. What actually he fits in, that he did everything right. That's the fourth bucket now. No mistakes, yes, ticked, but on top of that, all the good things he did in his life. The consequences from our point of view looks very, very extremely unfair and unjustifiable and extreme. Where is the devotion? And to add to this, to make it even more, you know, magnified the situation, for Prahlad Maharaj, the devotion that he is doing is the cause of his problem. You with me now? That is what he is facing. The devotional service that he is doing is the cause of his own problem. If he gives up a devotional service, at least for that time being, Hiranyakashipu will stop tormenting him. No? So his problem for that time, that passage of window that we can see through, goes away. But notwithstanding that he had that alternative, no, to give up devotion and get away with all the problems in life for that time, he continued to intensify his absorption in Krishna. So again, what do good people do when bad things happen to them is what Bhagavatam teaches us. No? Parikshit Maharaj, complete Krishna conscious bhakti. Prahlad Maharaj, continuing to be pure devotee of the Lord, no matter what. Our cases can be more like Prahlad Maharaj as well, a lot of time. We have got, you know, in our own congregation so many examples, you know, of different times then when devotion actually can become the cause of our suffering. Especially, not especially in many cases, but you know, let's say in a husband-wife relationship, you know, the wife is a devotee, but the husband is not. And there could be tension in the family. And the other way around as well, you know, the wife is a devotee, the husband is not, or the husband is a devotee, the wife is a not. And it becomes quite challenging, you know. But if they are sincere devotees, they march on. Somehow or the other, they keep marching on. And then we see how Krishna protects them. Sometimes also, you know, even in ordinary devotional service, in our ordinary seva that we do, not ordinary seva, how should I say this? In the normal seva that we do, sometimes devotion seems to be quite stressful. Especially when Janmashtami is coming. You know, there is just relentless endeavor to get so many things done. Coming to temple, doing our exams for Bhakti Vaibhav, participating in drama, you know, there is drama, you know, day after day after day, recording, rehearsals, take one, take two, take three, and then, you know, all the other things we have to do, our school work. So it seems we are quite bombarded with devotional service, to the point that, and of course, devotees always sacrifice their sleep, yeah? We tell ourselves, tomorrow we will sleep more. But tomorrow we don't sleep more because it becomes even more busier. This is devotional life, yeah. Just relentless opportunities and effort required to save the Lord. But interestingly, you know, when we sit back and realize that the reason we continue to do it relentlessly, we know we are tired, but we still wake up, finish our chanting, do this, do that. Why? Because we know, notwithstanding that it may seem sometimes quite stressing, devotional service can be very intense on us. But what we also know after doing the service, that it is satisfying. Agree? We will be very tired on Friday afternoon, but we will still drive to the Bhakti Vriksha to preach. And when we are driving to Bhakti Vriksha, we may already be sleepy, to be honest, you know, at 7 o'clock, because we are so tired. But we still go to the Bhakti Vriksha and lecture and have prasadam with all the devotees and come back home around midnight, feeling super duper tired. But internally there is that satisfaction to say, you know, I did something for the Lord. So there is the satisfaction in bhakti that propels us more and more. You know, although materially we will be very tired. So Prahlad Maharaj, no mistakes, but still so much of suffering. So what happens when we go through those problems in our life? How do we react? We saw that Prahlad Maharaj, you know, reacted with Krishna consciousness at every point in time. How do we react? When we are unwell, when we are sick, we can do three things. We can take no medication. assuming you know the sickness requires medication, the doctors have prescribed, you know, administered so and so medication, antibiotics at least, and something else. No, so when we have been administered those medications, and we are unwell and we are sick, we are diseased, and we don't take the medication, what will happen? Somebody said something. It will get worse. And what about the pain? I was only asking that question so that I can sip some water. So our pain will increase and our disease will also increase if we don't take any medication. Now, if the disease is there and the doctor prescribes a medication and we take only the painkiller, what will happen to the pain? Reduce. What will happen to the disease? Worsened again. Now, what happens if we take only the curative medication and not the painkiller? The pain will remain, no? As aggressive as it was. But because it's a curative medication, the disease will reduce and accordingly, proportionately, the pain will also reduce. Now, what if you take the painkiller with the curative medication? Then the pain reduces because we have taken the painkiller, and the disease also reduces because of the preventative medication, and therefore the pain and the disease both reduce. So, this material world is like that hospital. No? Prabhupada said, our temple is a hospital. All the diseased people should come here and we'll treat them, and they can go back to Godhead. So it's like a hospital. So in this hospital, the fan might not work, sometimes the light might not work, the microphone might not work, many things might not work. But one thing that works is the medication. That just for guaranteed always works. Take the pill of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So if you take this dosage of Hare Krishna, Panadol, 16 times 108 pills per day at least, then we are bound to be cured for sure. Minimum medication, Prabhupada is our top-notch doctor, has prescribed to us. So Prahlad Maharaj, let's go back to Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, he is going through, let's say, a material disease. Not that he's disease, you know what I mean to say. He's going through material danger in his life. But he's always taking the curative medication of dependency on the Lord. So when he was taking the medication, he was going through all the problems in his life, but eventually, successfully, the Lord removes his material pain, as well as his material disease, and as well as his material entanglement, if there was any, and he goes back to Godhead. Parikshit Maharaj, when he is in trouble, he again takes the curative medication. To say that I'm going to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and I will get relieved from the disease. So in our case, similarly, we have those choices. Some people, Hiranyakashipu is on the other bracket, by the way. Hiranyakashipu is in the bracket of painkiller, but no curative medication. So his painkiller is there. He has got all the comforts in life, even probably higher than Indra. So much material comfort in his life. And he's thinking that material comfort will last forever because he's almost like, immune to dying because of the boon that Brahma had given him. So thinking like that, he is fully and solely relying on the painkiller medication, which is his material opulence. But what we do know that eventually it all vanquished. It didn't last long. Whereas Prahlad had no material facilities, but all spiritual enlightenment, and eventually he comes out as victorious. So the choice is always ours, to which one we want to take. 8:45. Maybe I'll just go for another 5 minutes and then I'll stop. I also want to talk about, that we know this, Prahlad Maharaj went through so many dangers in his life. At every point in time, he could have been killed by all the demoniac activity that was being performed on him. So danger in life. And Prahlad Maharaj also symbolizes the epitome of devotion. So we go through our life, with this combination of danger and devotion. And how do we react, and how do people react, when these things are going in our life in some degree or proportion? Ane, just a little bit quieter with the thing, please. So, what was I saying? So danger and devotion, yeah? So, sometimes, no, we can be, or people can be, have no devotion, but face no danger either. There's always, everybody has some problems, that is for sure. So I'm not talking about, you know, the daily problems that we go through. But I'm talking about, you know, those extreme dangers that come in our life. Now, in terms of, let's say, extreme disease or financial calamity in life, you know, or house has caught fire, something like that, you know. So when we are in the first, let's say, quadrant, you know, when there is no danger, and when there is no devotion and there is no danger as well, then people become very complacent. And in our preaching endeavor, we know this. When we distribute books, when we are preaching in bhakti rikshas, you know, when people don't have any real, you know, imminent problem in their lives, big dangerous situation in their life, they will not be very keen on bhakti. It's like, especially, you know, many cultural backgrounds will say this, you know, that it's okay, you know, everything is okay, you know, life is good, we've got a good job, you know, good family, good car, nice houses. There's no real need to pray to the Lord at the moment. I'm okay. Very complacent in life. You know, they are happy with what it is. Not knowing that something is just coming their way very soon. It's imminent, yeah? But for now, at that point in time, they don't take up devotion. They don't have much to problems in their life. So they are very complacent. But what happens to the same people when there is no devotion still, but there is danger? So the first one we spoke about, there is no devotion, there is no danger. But then what if there is no devotion, but danger? They are facing some problems, real problems in their lives. What is their reaction? What do you think? I'm just saying that if you're still with me, or dozed off, because I'm going slightly technical. Yes?
It's just a big
uh-oh. Yeah, big uh-oh, yeah? And what do they think about spirituality and God? Huh? Yes? Don't be shy. Yeah, but if they still don't have devotion, then what would... Yeah, that's true as well. They might start marching towards devotion, but at the moment they don't have, Yeah, that's our usual response we get, yeah? You try to preach to somebody, that's the usual response. How do you know this? Must be book distributor. Now, the usual response is just blame it on the Lord, you know. He doesn't exist, you know. That person, those who are, spiritualists, they are mad people. God doesn't exist. Otherwise, why would there be so many problems in the world? People blame God for all the problems in the life. The fact that there is so many problems presently in the world, people say God doesn't exist, because if he was a sweet Lord, then why would he let the children suffer? Why would a father let the child suffer? So it's like there is no God. Yeah. So first bracket, they are very complacent. No devotion, no danger. Second bracket, there is no devotion but danger, blame it on the Lord. You know, they become indignant to the Lord. They become frustrated in life. They become angry in their lives. Don't know, and they are stressed. No, probably going to the pub is their only remorse. No, that's what they do. Now come to the other side. There is devotion, and there is danger. Prahlad Maharaj fits this bracket for now. There is extreme devotion and extreme danger. What is his reaction? One of dependence on the Lord. Oh my Lord, no matter what, I am fully surrendered to you. I am fully dependent on you. Sharanagati. No? Whichever way you want to handle me, I am always yours in any shape or form. You know? So this is full dependence on the Lord. Now this is where we can learn lessons. Because we are not in the first two quadrants where we have no devotion and facing no danger or facing danger. We are not in those quadrants. We are more so in this quadrant, yeah, where we have devotion to some degree and we have problems to some degree. So our dependence on the Lord can increase in this situation. But at the same time, if we stay only in this situation, you know, that praying to the Lord when there are problems in life is relatively easy for a devotee. Because we have got nowhere else to run. So we only run to the temple, or we run to the devotees to say, you know, and we confide in a devotee to say we are going through this. We run to a devotee somehow or the other when there are problems in life. But if we run to a devotee only every time when there are only problems in life, that relationship will not last very long. It's like, let's say, a boy says to a girl, I want to marry you. And the girl says, why do you want to marry me? And the boy says, because nobody else wants to marry me. It's like, well, that's a circumstantial love, right? I'm loving you because nobody else wants to love me, so I want to love you. You know? Now, sounds funny, but actually, you know, we all in the womb of our mothers have prayed like this. When the situation was very acute, you know, and there were worms and germs biting us, and we were in upside down situation for so many months, this is exactly what we have prayed to the Lord. Oh my Lord, and Lord Kapildev tells us in Canto 3 of Srimad Bhagavatam, yeah, oh my Lord, I don't want to stay in this womb. This place is torturous. Please take me out. But then the jiva changes his prayer in the womb of the mother and says, actually, my Lord, I don't want to come out of the womb of the mother. Why? Because now that I have got that devotion onto you, which has been propelled under the situation of great danger in the womb of the mother, I don't want to come out. Because if I do come out, then Maya will again entangle me, and I don't want to relapse into that material consciousness. So I don't want to come out. But we still come out. So then the question becomes, why does the Lord allow us to come out when we have prayed for Him for protection in the womb of the mother? The answer is because it is similar to the circumstantial devotion. We are devoted to the Lord because the circumstances are forcing us to be devoted to the Lord, just as the boy is proposing to the girl because no other girl is willing to marry him. Now the girl will say no, unless she is also in a situation when no other boy wants to marry her. If she is also circumstantially, you know, deprived, then only she is going to say yes, but otherwise she will say no. So that is circumstantial. So Prahlad Maharaj, although he is in a great danger and great devotee, when this is the last point I'm going to make, yeah, which is a takeaway for us. When the problems evaporate from his life, which is right now, Narasimha Dev has come and he has killed Hiranyakashipu, and Prahlad Maharaj's material problems that seemed from our lens at least, that has completely evaporated. Prahlad Maharaj now has got two choices, which is also what the choices we normally face. The problems have gone away, do we forget Krishna? Or the problems have gone away, do we increase our devotion to Krishna? So Prahlad Maharaj moves from the quadrant of devotion and danger to the last quadrant of devotion and no danger. And when one sincerely still absorbs himself in Krishna consciousness when problem comes and goes, no, that is the quadrant of discipline, no, of diligence, no, of sincerity. Oh my Lord, thank you for, you know, relieving me from this catastrophe, but I'm always still your devotee. So in our lives, when we go through problems, we should increase our devotion to Krishna. And when the problem goes away, continue to increase our devotion to Krishna. And that is what Krishna is waiting for. No? So all these problems that come in our life is Krishna's test of how you're going to react. So how does Parikshit Maharaj react? How does Prahlad Maharaj react? How does, you know, Arjun react? How does Jatayu react? That is what pleases the Lord. So that's why I was saying at the beginning, that is the reaction of our devotees that is of paramount importance to us, rather than the cause of their problems. So focus not on why we are going through the problems, focus not on why Krishna is giving us these problems, focus not on what Krishna is doing to us in this situation of problems. Focus more on what we can do for the Lord in this situation. And that is an advancement of our devotional service. To do more and more, notwithstanding whatever goes in our life. So 9:55, I think I'll park here now. I'll park the other things for another day. Because otherwise, you know, it will go over 9 o'clock. So to summarize, maybe, you know, as the key messages from today, the Lord protects us. You know, a misconception is that the Lord should always protect us at a physical level or at an emotional level. The reality is the Lord protects us at a physical level, emotional level, as well as a spiritual level. Of the three, the spiritual protection is of most important from the Lord's point of view, and also should be from our point of view, because that is everlasting. Everything else is temporary. And then, in times of trials and tribulations, you know, when there are problems in our life, our devotion should not slacken. No, it's a test from the Lord, of course a karmic reaction as well, token karmic reaction for us, but the test from the Lord to say how we will react. And if we react devotionally, favorably, then the Lord knows that we are sincerely devoted to Him, rather than circumstantially devoted to Him, only when we had some difficulties in our life. Yeah? Okay? So I'll park it here. Happy to take any questions or comments or corrections.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Nice class.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Just a comment. As devotees, we understand that the Lord is always protecting us. 100% of the time. From the time that we rise in the morning time to the time we take rest, and even through our sleep, He's still protecting us. Sometimes His tribulations are there, but that's because of our karma. But as devotees, we understand that as those tribulations are reduced, even though we're in the prison house, we've been given the boom of our sentence has been reduced, but we still have to suffer because we're in the prison house. And we see that actually Srila Prabhupada, from Vyasadeva's teachings, that these tribulations actually intensify our love for Krishna, our dependence on His protection, just like when the gopas saw Agasura, they knew that it was a demon, that the snake was on the road. But still they said, well, Krishna's going to protect us, and they went.
Yeah, thank you. Very nice.
And then even when the gopis came to a point where the gopis were actually criticizing Krishna, you know, they said that Krishna is actually a woman killer. Because he protected from the devotees from Bakashura and from Agashura, but he hasn't protected the women because he's not there before them. And that love was so much that the Lord had to appear before them.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu.
Such is the Lord's protection.
Very nice. Thank you for those additional comments. Sivya?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for the nice class. Prabhuji, you mentioned how the Lord asked Arjuna to boldly declare that his devotees never perish. But Prabhu, we hear in lectures that we're not devotees, we're practicing devotees. And we're neophytes because we're full of anarthas inside us. So Prabhuji, is this statement for like pure devotees, or is it for like every devotee?
Yeah. So as I mentioned already, you know, Sivya, that the Lord's protection, and as Gyan Samudra Prabhu also added, you know, the Lord's protection is always there for us. But from a material point of view, it may seem to be missing. But if we expand our vision from a spiritual point of view, it is always there. Neha Bikrama Nasasti Pratavayona Vidyate. So our spiritual devotion is always protected by the Lord. So that verse is what it means, that our spirituality is always protected by the Lord. No? The material things just depends whether the Lord wants us to have it or not. No? If it's conducive to our Krishna consciousness, He will protect that as well. Our health, our wealth, our families. But if He thinks that in the long term it may not be conducive to our devotional service, He might take it away. That is His prerogative. But from our point of view, it is the understanding is that He always protects us. Now His protection may not be on our terms, and this is a fundamental mistake that we can also make. No, His warranty to protect us is on His terms, not on our terms. For example, if you buy a new laptop, let's say, you know, the warranty that comes with the laptop is on the terms of the manufacturer, not on my terms. So the manufacturer is saying, if you protect your laptop and then there is any, you know, development issues, then I'm covered. But if I bang the laptop on the floor, then I'm not covered, even if there is a warranty in place. So it is on His terms, not on our terms. And He is a better planner for us because He's got a supervision, you know, super, literally supervision. So He's got a better vision than us. So a lot of times we want the Lord to protect us, you know, giving His strength and our intelligence. But an intelligent devotee knows to rely on the intelligence as well as on the strength of the Lord. That does not mean that we should become lackadaisical, you know, that we should become complacent. We have to do our part. Our endeavor has to be there. But Krishna's mercy and protection will be behind it, provided we are sincere, yeah? Okay?
Thank you, Prabhupada.
It's like the mother's love for a child, you know? Mother's love for a child, you know, is preparing for a dangerous situation and also preparing for the dangerous situation. So for example, you know, do you swim? Yeah. So let's, you know, so if, you know, parents always like the children to, you know, learn swimming. But when we are even more younger, when we are, you know, babies and, you know, 1-2 years, whatever, the mother is very careful that the child doesn't go anywhere near water because it's a danger. So she's all, so her love to not allow the child to go in the swimming pool is her protection, is her love. Now when the child starts going to, you know, swimming pool, when the age is there to learn swimming, the mother lets the baby or the child go into the water. And sometimes, for all of us who have, you know, when you learn swimming, some water goes in your mouth, you know, and then you choke and you sneeze and all those things happen. But the mother is still smiling on the side, you know. Because she knows the only way to learn is swimming is by going through that experience. So the fact that she is still allowing the instructor to let the child swim, even though the child seems to be struggling, that allowance of struggle is also her love. So firstly, she is preparing the child from going in the water, that is love. Secondly, when she is allowing the child to go in the water and struggle, that is also love. So similarly, Krishna prepares us. Krishna's love for us is to protect us from danger, and Krishna's love for us is also to prepare us to protect us from danger. That's how we all grow, yeah? We grow more when we go through problems. So the child learns to swim only by struggling, you know, initially, and then who knows, she or he might become a Olympiad, you know, or like that. Okay, Mahatma Prabhu, and that would be the last one, yeah?
Hare Krishna, thank you for a nice class.
Thank you, Prabhu.
My impression is Lord is always protecting us.
Yeah.
There is no time when He is not protecting us. I agree with what Gyanak Sundar said.
We all agree.
Yeah, because like the gopis' love, He is increasing their love in separation. And at the same time He is saying, I am indebted for your service. So all the time, Krishna is protecting us 100% everywhere. And the Krishna says also in 9.22 Bhagavad Gita,
yeah,
Ananyas chintyanto mam ye jana paripaste te shamnit bhyukta nam yokshemam vahamam yokshemam.
Yeah.
Full guarantee that whatever you possess, I'll protect, and whatever you lack, I'll give. So what can be better than that?
Yeah.
Any insurance company can give you that guarantee.
Yeah.
He is always protecting at every step.
Yeah.
If we are not protected, we fall down.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Yeah. And just for clarity, you know, like hopefully, you know, unless I made an error in my articulation, you know, if you take an example of Abhimanyu, from an external point of view, Abhimanyu is dead. No, he's killed. So that's the question that we were trying to answer. That the Lord, why did not He protect Abhimanyu from dying? And you cannot say, no, we cannot say that the Lord didn't protect him, because as I said, his spirituality was protected. Abhimanyu has gone back to Godhead. That's the point we are making. But we cannot also deny the fact and the reality that Abhimanyu's material body, let's say at that point in time, is now gone forever. Otherwise, you know, Yudhishthira Maharaj will not be lamenting, Arjun will not be crying. So in our cases, you know, when we lose somebody, and he may be a devotee, then that body is gone. That Krishna did not protect. That body He did not protect. But his spirituality is protected. That's why I'm making the point again, to say there can be physical, emotional and spiritual protection. Krishna might not protect our body, or the body of our loved ones, but Krishna will protect our devotion. Yeah? Anything else? You... No, I think we okay?
Lastly, one more point.
span of Ashwatthama was finished at that time. Lord has given the span of life, and the way he had to die, that was decided also.
Yeah.
So we cannot say that he left earlier. Like our friend's son died.
Yeah.
Circumstances became such, because the lifespan was given.
Yeah.
And there is no way you can save him.
Yeah, of course. That
best
is
hospital, best antibiotics, best anesthetic.
Yeah.
Anything, if the lifespan is gone, you are gone.
Agree. That is inevitable. So, no, nobody can save it anyway.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Enough for today. 9% Granthashan Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.